A wild Thanksgiving day saw the Lions beat the Bears, and what do you know? Matt Eberflus gets fired. Finally gets fired because of terrible clock management. We'll get to that later, but it's Friday. You know what that means. Week 13 picks coming up next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. To my left is CJ Medeiros, the professional step padder himself. And happy Thanksgiving. There's not many great games on Thanksgiving, besides one in particular, the Lions and the Bears game, which 23-20, Lions with the win. And I mean, big story, big breaking news from this morning. We're currently recording at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, about an hour before the Chiefs-Raiders game. But Matt Eberflus being fired after the loss this morning. And this was a long, long, long time coming. And it's unfortunately just continues the carousel of coaching that is the Chicago Bears, and continues the theme of draft quarterback, fire the coach right afterwards, and then you get another coach that comes in that maybe didn't want the quarterback. But this might be a little bit of a different story because we're talking about Caleb Williams now, not Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. But Matt Eberflus finally getting the can after terrible clock management in the loss against the Bears yesterday on Thanksgiving. And that was really just the tumultuous ending that everyone really should have expected at some point. And I mean, you look at the Bears' schedule prior. So now they're on a 6-game losing streak. They're winless on the road. You look at the Washington game and you're like, wow, they're driving down the field. Wow, they took the lead. Holy shit. Like, they're actually going to win. Caleb Williams, after playing a terrible first half, has helped the Bears take the lead with under a minute to go. And lo and behold, they go prevent defense and they suck and win, or lose, I mean, on a Hail Mary. And then they lose back to back against the Cardinals and the Patriots, putting up terrible numbers, 9 against the Cardinals and 3 against the Pats. And then you have 3 straight weeks where it's, you're driving down the field against the Packers. Your rookie quarterback driving down the field against the Packers only to get a field goal block because the Packers knew they were going to get a field goal block at some point because of Cairo Santos's low kick trajectory. They knew it was going to happen. And it was Matt Eberflus who decided, no, I'll just kick it now with 30 seconds left, not try to get a little bit closer. I'll just kick it now. Then the next week, they battle their way back in the second half yet again. They battle back, send it to overtime. They even get the ball first in overtime, and yet they still lose. And then yesterday, a terrible first half where they didn't get a first down until they got into their 2-minute drill in the first half. But there was little inklings throughout that first half that said, I don't think the Bears are really going to go away this easily. The Lions were moving the ball very well on them, but they couldn't score touchdowns too easily. They kept getting shut down and having to settle for field goals. And then Caleb Williams finally woke up in the second half. They're driving down the field, and they're in field goal range. Oh no, Caleb Williams takes a sack, 32 seconds left. All right, whatever. It's fine. Get up on the line. You got some time. Maybe call timeout. Oh, no. What? Oh, there's 15 seconds left. Oh, they're okay. Now they're set. What's Caleb Williams doing? Why is he not snapping the ball? Why are you snapping with 6 seconds left? That's it. The overall sum of what is the tenure of Matt Eberflus was put on display yesterday. And I just can't believe it. This is also the first time that the Bears have went on and fired a head coach midseason. And these one-score games is also a definition of the Matt Eberflus era of Chicago. 5-19.
Mm.
5-19 in one-score games is Matt Eberflus, which if Dennis Allen was still an active head coach with the Saints, he wouldn't have the worst win percentage in one-score games. And here's some quotes for you from right after the game. Matt Eberflus on clock management versus the Lions. I think we handled it the right way.
No, you did not.
Keenan Allen. I feel like we did enough as players to win the game. You did.
As players. Notice that.
As players. Yeah. I would completely agree with that. DJ Moore had an amazing second half. Keenan Allen had a great game too. DJ Moore, speak of the devil. I don't know why we ain't call a timeout. Bill Zimmerman tweeted out, apparently the rookie QB didn't miss the urgency. He waited 20 seconds for the play, finally got it, recognized they didn't have enough time anymore, and changed the play to try and win it. That's insane. That's insane. I don't know if you saw that, Siege.
Yeah, no, I did. That's why in our group chat, I was defending Caleb Williams, because you could make an argument he was just standing there with his hands in his pants, not doing anything. But no, he was literally waiting for the play. But lo and behold, it was a terrible play, and the poor kid had to change it. Mm-mm-mm. Wouldn't let that happen to me is all I'm saying. Yeah. And there's one quote I think you're missing.
I might be. There definitely is.
You ready for this?
Yes, I am.
Bears safety, you know him well, Jaquan Brisker, took to Twitter to say, God don't make mistakes, after Matt Eberflus was fired.
Nice. Nice.
I do not think Mr. Brisker really misses Eberflus all that much, if I'm being honest.
No, and I think that was the talking point amongst us, and I feel like a lot of the NFL community, of how this Bears team, these players have pretty much quit on Eberflus.
I saw it
in the Cardinals and the Patriots game, just played like ass those 2 weeks. I mean, granted, they got rid of Shane Waldron, and with Thomas Brown as the new offense coordinator, I even said, this is going to turn out like shit. But in reality,
it is. Because look, Thomas Brown, wasn't he literally the Panthers OC?
He was the Panthers OC, but my point is that, like, it's not as bad as one would think it is. Like, Caleb Williams is actually has played pretty well the last 3 weeks.
Well, is he calling the plays, or I don't know. But either way, we'll see. We'll see.
I would assume, but.
But, oh my God. I remember watching that game, and I was so confused at the end. I was just like, wait a minute. Why aren't they using their timeout? And for the record, Bears fans, don't feel bad. It should never have come to that, because the Bears failed a fourth down and got absolutely bailed out by a really tick-tack pass interference call, which, I'm sorry, the ball wasn't catchable. It was thrown like way far to, well, what would have been the right, their left, you know, for the receiver. Like, oh, Kendall Vildor was grabbing DJ Moore. And I'm like, no, that was not catchable. No one got a hand on it, so it's whatever. But yeah, so don't worry, Bears. You shouldn't have won regardless, but the funny thing about the Eberflus firing that literally nobody mentions is that this morning, at the time of recording, Black Friday, November 29th, 2024, Matt Eberflus had a press conference at, like, I want to say 10-ish.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, 10 Eastern time, I believe. So Eberflus had a press conference And then they fired him. Jesus, tap dancing Christ. Chicago cannot even fire their head coaches properly. It's just, but overall, was that the right decision? Absolutely. 110%. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but this offseason we were saying that we were surprised that Eberflus stuck around. He was one of my picks to get fired, but and now Chicago's seeing why they probably should have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate because Caleb Williams, there are definitely games to blame Caleb Williams for not performing well, but I feel like that for the majority of this season, like, you can't really put much blame on the rookie quarterback. Like, first of all, rookie quarterback, there's going to be growing pains. And second of all, like, he's performing. Caleb Williams is performing. He had a really good second half. The entirety of the Bears team had a great second half and battled their way back into the game. But the problem is that, like, they keep digging themselves too much of a hole sometimes in the first half where they shouldn't have to be making these stupid comebacks in the second half. But
yeah, and honestly, we keep talking about the trends, right? You know, with the coaching and the quarterback play and everything. This literally happened with Fields too.
Yeah.
They would suck in the first half, and then they'd play their heart out and just kind of stat pad and dress up the score in the fourth quarter so it looks closer than it actually was. And they also did that in seasons too. Remember how we had the big Justin Fields debate and how all the supporters were saying stuff like, oh, but he really started to heat up at the end of the year. And I'm like, yeah, when they were already like out of playoff contention, like, you're not getting anything out of this. It's the same thing. The Bears just seem to forget that the game is 60 minutes and not 30. And I don't know who they're going to hire. If I had to put money on it, it'd probably be Ben Johnson, the Lions OC. But hopefully he can fix that, because if he can't, man, I don't know. And also, we've mentioned this before, you have to find a coach that will verbally commit to Caleb Williams, because I said this before. Remember when we brought this up about how John Fox drafted, well, it wasn't Fox who drafted it, but you get me, right? Fox had Trubisky. They kicked him out. Nagy comes in. Nagy doesn't want Trubisky. Nagy wants Fields. They throw Nagy out, bring in Eberflus. Eberflus doesn't want Fields, so they bring in Williams, and now Eberflus is gone. So you're going to need someone who will commit to Williams, and I don't think that's going to be that hard.
No.
I don't think anybody expected Trubisky to be that good, and Fields was just a massive disappointment.
Yeah, and the thing with, like, no one, like you said, no one thought of anything ridiculous of Trubisky. Justin Fields, I feel like if he was put in a better spot, could have probably performed a lot better, but
yeah, probably.
I think that with the Justin Fields era, it was a combination of a lot of things, not just obviously him not being good enough to perform, but there's a lot of things that can be true at the same time.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Either way, new era is going to be coming to town next year. Thomas Brown's going to be the interim head coach for the time being. So, and that's what made that Washington those losses to Washington, Arizona, and New England so terrible for the Bears, because they're 4-2. Really, they needed to get those wins, because now you've lost three straight to NFC North rivals, and you got to face those three NFC North rivals again at least one more time, including the Niners and the Seahawks. Like, they're just in an absolute gauntlet for the second half of the season. And at 4-2, you really would have wanted to be 7-2 coming into, or at least 6-3 going into this gauntlet that they're in. Unfortunately, that's just not how the cookie crumbles. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our Week 13 picks. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast powered by Pirate 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. We get into our Week 13 picks, starting with our Rooski game of the week, the Philadelphia Eagles going to Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Ravens. And this is, I mean, for all we know, this is a potential Super Bowl matchup. I mean, we're talking like Eagles. They're in the number 2 spot right now. They could very easily make a run at the number 1 seed where the Lions stand right now. Dark horse, we were saying earlier earlier on in this big winning streak that the Eagles are on, that they could be a dark horse Super Bowl contender. Ravens, I think it's very clear that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, or could be a Super Bowl contender. They just need to get out of their own way. And on top of that as well, you got two guys on both teams that are in the running for MVP, Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley. This could potentially, not saying this is going to decide who's going to win MVP, but this is going to be a pretty good showing from both sides, I would say, at least from Lamar and Saquon. But the Eagles do have a very good run defense, so that's going to be very interesting to see how Saquon performs against the Ravens in that regard. But my first instinct is I'm going to go with the Ravens because Lamar has lost only once to NFC teams, and that one loss was to Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. I think I could just stop right there. That's really the only explanation I need for picking the Ravens, other than the fact that you could pick either side, and I wouldn't call you a jackass for it, because that's how good both teams have been this year. Vegas obviously giving the Ravens 3 points. They're the favorite at home. And honestly, I'm surprised that Vegas didn't give him more because of Lamar's record against NFC teams in his career.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's an interesting point, you know, about like Lamar. And his only loss literally came from the scourge of New York himself. Oh, boy. Old Danny Derps himself.
Which, funny enough, Ravens are playing the Giants in 2 weeks.
I kind of hope they lose just for the memes.
Just for the memes?
Just for the memes. Why do anything if not for the memes, huh?
Yeah.
But I just, this feels different to me, and I'll tell you why. You mentioned the Ravens' run defense, right, and how that could hurt Saquon.
Yes.
Now, tell me, who are Philly's wide receivers again?
A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Mm-hmm. And how's the Ravens' pass defense?
Not good.
Yes.
I'll give you an official ranking for you in a moment.
Okay. Let me know when you got that. So my thing is simple. I actually don't like the matchup. I don't, because the Ravens, if you're them, you can't just rest on your run defense and hope to shut down Saquon Barkley all game when you have capable and just downright terrifying playmakers on the other side of the ball, or on the other side of the offensive attack, I should say, like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and even Dallas Goedert. So just because your run defense is good, that means Philly's probably planning a more aerial attack. And even if they do, okay, even if they do, you're going to have to defend to that, meaning that there's going to be one less guy on the line, and they could probably run it with Saquon.
I was just about to say, you could even have Saquon out of the backfield throwing to him too, as well, and because he's that dangerous.
He really is. Saquon is a dual threat back. I mean, a lot of people seem to forget that, but here at the Fumble Rooski Podcast, we certainly don't. So overall, I'm going to have to go with Philly here just because I don't like the matchups. And if you had to twist my arm and make me choose, I trust the Philly defense like infinitely more than I trust the Ravens defense.
Ravens, second-ranked defense in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. They're currently one of four teams that have not broken 1,000 rushing yards allowed this season. They're with the Vikings, the Chiefs, and the Steelers. Yards per game, they are second to last in front of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those two teams are the only two teams that have allowed 3,000 passing yards this year.
And look, I know that the Eagles are a run-first team, but they have the personnel to afford to not lean on the run. And I don't know if they're going to have an answer for both Smith and Brown.
Probably not. But I guess the counter to it, so Eagles have the best defense in the league in terms of yards per game. 274.6 yards allowed per game. Ravens are the number one total offense in the league this year with 5,000 total yards. They're currently the only team with that, with 5,000 total yards this year. In terms of passing for the Ravens, they are third, and rushing, the Ravens are second. Eagles have the best run game in the league as well, going up against the second best run defense in the league. So that's going to be it's going to be pretty fun, to say the least.
Yeah. These teams match up really well. However, I do think in the small margin of error that there is, the matchups do tend to favor Baltimore. Because even though it's an offensive league, you could argue that defense still wins championships, and I don't see Zay Flowers, of all people, getting the better of Darius Slay or Quinyon Mitchell, because, you know, who, by the way, has entered the Defensive Rookie of the Year race, so just keep an eye on that. So, yeah, also, that defensive front with, like, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and those guys, oh, my God, that is a terrifying unit.
Yeah.
They're both going to have their hands full. I am expecting a really good game, but I'm still going Philly.
Also want to point out, Philly has the eighth worst passing game in the league. But, I mean, it's pretty understandable considering that they center their offense around Saquon, so I'm not even really going to worry too much about that. But,
yeah,
fair. Who knows, maybe that comes into play. Time to get into our early slate here for week 13, the rest of it. Starting out with the Patriots and the Colts. We haven't really talked about we've talked about the Patriots, but we haven't gone into a full in-depth look into how the Patriots have done this season, especially as Pats fans. And
we don't want to be homers and make the show that, but I feel like, tell you what, we'll leave Adam out of the loop so he'll be forced to agree. But I feel like whenever New England is eliminated from playoff contention, we're going to have to do a whole what went wrong kind of deal.
Oh, yeah. We definitely will. I feel like that if we're going to talk about the Patriots, we might as well just do it next week. Because honestly, there's a good chance that the Patriots get eliminated from playoff contention this week.
Oh, wait. By the way, for those of you at home, speaking of playoff eliminations, I did want to mention this. I couldn't think of a time to fit it in, so I'll just do it now. The New York Giants have officially become the first team in the league to be eliminated from playoff contention as of today. That's just how the math shakes out. So
there you go.
One team's gone. We're going to have a lot more. Sorry, Chris. I don't want to cut you off, but it's just
good
noting.
I mean, we're going to have to bring it up at some point anyway, since we're not really talking about the other the other Thanksgiving games. But yeah. So back to Colts and Pats. And obviously, there's a good chance that this is going to be the game that the Patriots get eliminated. And this could also be the start of a new era of the Patriots-Colts rivalry with Anthony Richardson and Drake May. But, I mean, it kind of depends on how this game goes and future games go. But I'm going to call for a Patriots upset here. I'm calling for the Patriots upset. Screw it. I don't care. Hate me all you want. Indy's a dome team. They're going to cold-ass New England. Give me the Pats.
That is something worth noting. Indy is a dome team, and going to New England is going to be a – well, to put it nicely, it's not going to be fun.
Only 41 degrees at kickoff, though.
Yeah, true.
Only 41.
Ooh, that's – but I got to go with Indy. Just because I say this every week, New England just has no talent. Even though they're not technically the worst team in the league, strictly on paper, when you go by like splash players, name value, they are the worst team in the league. They have no blue chip talent. And honestly, we've given Mayo a lot of crap, but the fact that he could squeeze three wins with a roster that got worse than the one last year in probably every position except quarterback is relatively kind of impressive. Once again, I don't think New England has the personnel to match up with Indy, you know, with like Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, and all them. And on defense, it kind of sucks for Drake May because he's turned the ball over a lot. And critics are saying, oh, he's got to get the turnovers under control. He has to stop playing hero ball. To which I'm like, Drake May playing hero ball is the only reason New England ever finds the end zone. Drake May quite literally has to do everything, and it's not fair to him, but to be fair, he has looked pretty good.
And to be fair to the Patriots, they're going up against a Colts team that is a bottom five defense in the league this year.
Now, that is true, but the one
especially in the run game.
Mm-hmm. True. However, there's one thing I want to point out.
Yes.
Anthony Richardson is a scrambler. New England, even with Bill Belichick, we always gave Bill crap for, let's face it, Bill could not figure out the scrambling quarterback. They always gave him fits. This year looks like Mayo's no different. I don't know why, just like the defensive strategy in New England, in case most people don't know, New England tends to rely on a scheme known as soft zone, which is straight out of the early 2000s, but whatever. Soft zone. Scramblers eat that for breakfast. And when you have Anthony Richardson, who's like 6'5", 240, who absolutely can just bully the smaller defensive backs that try to tackle him, he's going to run all over New England. And that is something that I'm afraid of. Give me the Colts.
Yeah. It might have worked with Steve McNair in 03 and 04, but it doesn't really work that well in this day and age. Moving on to the next game, Chargers Falcons. Which Falcons team are we going to get this week? That's really
There's
the question.
No way of knowing.
That's really the question. And I mean, the way that the tumultuous idea of the Falcons really is that you don't know what team they're going to get, but you know what team you're going to get out of the Chargers. So that's why I'm picking the Chargers.
Yeah, this is another one where don't think about it. I'm going Chargers. You know, you really don't have to, like I said, they don't really have to exert too much precious brain power to figure it out. If you get the good Falcons, it's really going to be a game. But the thing is, I don't think you're going to be getting the good Falcons. I think you're going to be getting just the wildly inconsistent, will burn you for an 80-yard touchdown one drive, then we'll just fumble the ball away the next. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a Kirk Cousins thing, if it's a Raheem Morris thing. I just like the Chargers, who are just, they don't have the Falcons' talent, but the coaching is far, far, far superior.
Yeah. Falcons also coming off a two-game losing streak right now, involving a 38-6 loss to the Broncos last week, whereas the Chargers, coming in off of a loss to a Ravens team that they kind of gave him some hell last week. They gave him some hell last week. So I think that Chargers is going to be coming in with a lot of confidence off of that. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's pretty much it. This is a pretty easy game to wrap your head around, I think.
Steelers, Bengals. So Bengals are actually favored. The 4-7 Bengals are favored against the 8-3 Steelers at home. And I'm gonna say this is probably gonna be one of those cases that you love to say it. Fraudulent teams like the Steelers. They're not complete. Like, I don't think we're expecting the Steelers to really make big splashes in the postseason, really.
No, so very unlikely.
So I wouldn't even call them frauds in that sense. Like, obviously their record is 8-3, so everyone's going to call them a fraud. But really, how fraudulent can you be when you weren't even expected to get there in the first place? That's kind of my take on it. But sure, if we are going to go with that case, I'm going to go with the theory that you and Adam love to throw out, in the sense of teams like the Steelers, when they lose one game, they come in bunches. I feel like the Bengals are due. They're due. I know the Steelers have a top five defense in the league, but they're due. They are due. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, solely because it's a division game, I think it's going to be an ugly one. I really do. I don't like this game at all. Because, you know, Steelers just have a really, really good defense. And that's really going to hinder Cincy. But the Steelers offense outside of George Pickens doesn't really exist. You know what I mean? So even though the Steelers have a far superior record, I think the Bengals are going to win. Because, you know, there's an old saying that says, you are what your record says you are. I disagree strongly, and I can defeat that old maxim in two words: Pittsburgh Steelers. Even if they do squeak into the playoffs, they're going to get annihilated first round. Like, they're just so underwhelming. It's not even worth talking about. Give me the Bengals.
Next game, Cardinals, Vikings in Minnesota. Vikings are being favored by 3.5. I'm going with the Vikings, but on a very cautious note. I haven't been the biggest fan of the way Sam Darnold has been playing the last few weeks. Last week in overtime, 330 yards, 2 touchdowns. But, you know, you look at the game against Jacksonville, 3 interceptions. He's been playing somewhat well the last 2 weeks, but I don't know if he's completely out of that little jam up he was in for those 3 games. So we'll see how it ends up for him. Last 5 games, though, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Very good completion percentage, though. Still projected just short of 5,000, but yeah. And that's the other thing with the Cardinals. It's kind of the same thing with the Falcons. You don't really know which Cardinals team you're going to get. Whereas the Vikings, I feel like, are just a lot more consistent. Kevin O'Connell's a great coach. Give me the Vikings. But it's going to be, I feel like this could be a very good game.
This is going to be a game that's going to be like a 38-35 shootout, or it's going to be like a 3-0, just ugly slugfest. Ooh, God. If you had to make me pick, I just think I'm going to go with the Vikings. They have more explosive capability, and the Cardinals have got to be the most bipolar team in the league.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride go off. Other times, you can only find them on a milk carton. Kyler Murray, at one point, was even, like, top five in an MVP conversation, and now he's going back to playing Call of Duty.
Literally the game after he gets into the top five conversation for MVP, they put up only 6 points against Seattle.
Pain.
Yeah.
Painful.
Very. I mean, Trey McBride's been playing out of his mind, though. I mean,
he's been
up there with Brock Bowers this year, which I was going to say we'll get to Brock Bowers later, but we already got to him on the Thanksgiving episode when we went over the Chiefs Raiders. He's currently on pace to break on pace to break Mike Ditka's rookie tight end receiving record and Sam LaPorta's rookie tight end receptions record, which would be wild. He's projected to hit well over 1,000 yards and well over 100 receptions, which is kind of unheard of for a tight end in terms of the receptions category.
Yeah. Are we seeing the tight end position make a comeback? Hopefully, because it's such a top-heavy position for most years, except this one, for obvious reasons. But it was always like Travis Kelce, George Kittle, maybe Mark Andrews, and then like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean,
and then every so often there'd be Waller there.
Darren Waller.
Oh, Darren Waller. That's it. I want to call him David, but I knew it wasn't David. Like every so often there's a Darren Waller that would sneak in or a TJ Hockenson, but now hopefully the Trey McBrides and the Brock Bowers of the world can maybe beef up the thinness of the position. But yeah, once again, I'm going Vikings.
Yeah. Trey McBride also on the verge of having 94 receptions and 1,000 yards this year. Still hasn't gotten a touchdown, though. Still no touchdowns.
For McBride? Yeah. Weird team.
Only one rushing touchdown. One rushing touchdown, though. Which is weird.
I don't understand this season at all. I really don't.
I don't. Seahawks, Jets. Speaking of not really understanding seasons, especially this game, Vegas is favoring Seattle by half a point. Half a point. I didn't think that was possible, but half a point against the Jets. Give me Seattle.
I also did not think it was possible. I kind of froze there. I kind of froze like Matt Eberflus when he should call a timeout. I was like,
yeah.
Half a point. Did I hear that right? As in 0.5 instead of 1?
Yeah. Not even a full game. Yeah,
that's going to be a game. It's mark my words, folks. This is going to be one of the games of all time. It will, in fact, be a game.
This could just as easily be 16-6 as the Seahawks and Jets have already done this year. This could easily be a 16-6 type of game again.
I'm still going Seahawks.
Oh, same here.
You know why? The Seahawks have a young head coach. They seem to coalesce around quarterback Geno Smith. The defense is slowly finding its form after being decimated by injuries. And then the Jets, stop me if you've heard this one, the Jets are in free fall. Oh, shocker. But that's the thing. And this free fall is especially dangerous because they had hope. And that hope got ripped out of their chest. It's just awful what happened to them. Of course, you're a Pats fan like us. It's really not. But now they're just in free fall. The locker room's in disarray. The future's uncertain. You don't even know if Rodgers is going to come back. Man literally might take his ball and go home.
I mean, that's the craziest part is that Aaron Rodgers said if he's going to come back and play next year, it's going to be for the Jets. But there's reports saying that the Jets are already thinking about moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Woody Johnson.
Yeah, they should.
Woody Johnson wanted to cut Aaron Rodgers after the Broncos game.
Cut? Wait, I saw bench. You mean cut? Really?
One of the two. I think it was cut, but then the GM, whatever the fuck his name is.
Old GM, Joe Douglas. He's gone.
Yeah, he told him to pump the brakes, kind of was able to settle him down. But that's the other thing is that Woody Johnson has kind of been playing de facto GM for pretty much this entire season. He's the one that made the trade for Devontae Adams. He's actually been the one that made the trade to send Mike Williams away. Like, Joe Douglas hasn't done shit, actually.
And that's kind of how it's been, unfortunately. I know Joe Douglas was fired, and it was something that I disagreed with. And the reason being, I think, is a simple one, and it's one you literally mentioned. They literally, I mean, you literally just said that it's been Woody Johnson this whole time. He's been pulling the strings. And here's the thing, and I know some people are going to be all crotchety and saying, well, you know, it's up to Joe Douglas to tell him no. If you tell the owner no, you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
If you are a GM and you are stuck with a meddlesome owner, your life is a living hell. Because you either A, tell him yes, get all the blame when it goes wrong, and are thrown to the curb, or B, you tell him no, the owner gives you a double bird and does it anyway, you get all the blame when it goes wrong, and you're thrown to the curb. Or you tell him no too many times, and you're called insubordinate, and you're thrown to the curb. Like, there is really no winning for Joe Douglas, and it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, either way, give me the Seahawks. Because the Jets are just falling apart right now. It's over.
And he brought in some good players, some decent talent, but
he really did. You know, Williams, Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall.
It's just one of those things that it just wasn't meant to work out, I guess. Next game, Tennessee versus Washington. Washington's a little cold right now. They are a wee bit cold. 3-game losing streak, including a loss in Dallas that really they should have had this one in the bag, but they lost on an extra point that was missed. That's basically what it came down to. They're cold, but I think that they're going to get themselves back on the right track. This could be considered your get-right game if you're Washington against a Titans team. Granted, Titans are a little bit on a good little momentum spot right now as well, getting a big upset against the Texans last week. I've never given up on this Titans defense. It's always been the offense. The only bright spot in the offense is Tony Pollard. He's currently on the verge of 1,000 rushing yards, which is very surprising. He's been pretty under the radar in terms of running backs this year. But I just see Washington needing to get a win here. So give me Washington.
I really had to do some soul searching, but honestly, I'm going the Titans with an upset. This is a trap game because you said the Commanders are a little cold. No, they're colder than the Thanksgiving leftovers in your fridge right now. And Will Levis has actually played relatively decent, shall I say, since coming back. Right. In the last three games alone, sure, they're only like 1-2, but he's got over 600 yards. He's got 5 touchdowns, only 2 picks. Like, the only downside is he has been getting sacked like again and again and again. It's so bad just what has happened to him. And honestly, the Commanders' defense is ripe to be picked apart by the Calvin Ridleys of the world, because literally outside of that one semi-decent defensive back they have, whose name escapes me, you know the one.
L'Jarius Sneed?
No. Commanders.
Oh, Commanders.
You know who I'm talking about.
It's I'm blanking now.
His defense is just so under the radar and so banged up, you just kind of forget. In the words of our president, I'll just refer to this guy as, you know, the thing. But
yeah,
other than that guy, their defensive backfield is just terrible. And I think that they should be able
Marshawn to score.
Lattimore, thank you. And I forgot because they just traded him. So, yeah, I mean, Lattimore's fine, but outside of him, it's nothing. And the game plans, they're just going to be, okay, let's throw where Lattimore is not. And overall, I like a Titans upset just because, you know, you got the Titans who I wouldn't say are on any kind of hot streak, but they're playing better. That's the one thing that I think can't be denied. They're playing better, and I've been hearing in some circles that maybe Will Levis might be playing himself into another year as starter. Could be this QB class isn't great. You might want to kick the can on this one. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, Washington is dealing with injuries. I mean, Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson Jr. are, I mean, Ekeler took a pretty bad hit against the Cowboys, listed on a concussion right now, non-participant in yesterday's practice or yesterday's injury report. Brian Robinson also listed as limited. Noah Brown could potentially not play. Washington's dealing with some injuries. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, CJ, we could see ourselves at another Tennessee upset here.
Yeah, but if they do upset, it's going to be another just unwatchable game.
Yeah. Texans-Jaguars.
Jesus.
Texans, oh, man. Texans. I don't even know where to start with this team. But
Fall off, you studied. Mm.
Yeah, if you need yourself a get-right game, this is your get-right game. But you're going on the road to Jacksonville, and they're only two wins.
Division game also.
Division game, and Jacksonville's only two wins this year are at home. So there's that for you. Question is, the thing is, I just don't see Jacksonville defending well against Joe Mixon. And Jacksonville also has the worst pass defense in the league. Joe Mixon's on a tear. I feel like this could essentially be seen as your get-right game as well. But this actually needs to be a get-right game. If you're like they need to blow the shit out of Jacksonville this week if they want any sort of confidence going the rest of the season, honestly. They need to kick the shit out of Jacksonville.
They absolutely need to. And even though it's a divisional game on the surface, it shouldn't be that hard to do. Jacksonville's another team that's just given up. Doug Peterson will be fired at the end of this year. I think it's a foregone conclusion.
100%.
But I just, the Texans have just looked so bad. Even when they were rattling off wins, they were just so uninspiring. They didn't pass the eye test. I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, what is it? The only thing I can think of is penalties.
Yep.
It's literally just penalties. There's so many drive killers. There's just so much stuff that has gone wrong. It's insane. I think, like I said last time around, they're literally the second most penalized team in the league, I think, behind what, Baltimore?
Yeah, probably. I'm not sure of that stat, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember, like, we looked at it, we talked about it, but yeah, it's literally just penalties and how, like, they had, like, 30 penalties on all their offensive linemen alone.
Yeah.
It's these self-inflicted wounds, discipline things. Also, CJ Stroud, they got film on him. He's going through an awful sophomore slump, but this is as close to the definition of a get-right game as you're going to find. I just have the Texans because I think the Jags have given up.
Yeah.
Like, don't be a hero. Don't play spoiler. Like, and that's what I hate. All these bad teams are like, we're here to play spoiler. Like, why? That helps no one. Like, and if you do win, you're only hurting yourself because you're cheating yourself out of a good pick.
They say that they're playing spoiler, but in reality, they're just playing for their next contract.
Yeah, it's true. That's another thing with Jacksonville is like they're just a bunch of rogue agents that are trying to secure their own future. Sucks when it happens, but that's what it is.
It is. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our other two late afternoon games along with the primetime slate for this week. Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Move to the late afternoon slate. First up, the Rams and the Saints. The Rams and the Saints. I don't really know.
What was that?
Yeah, it was. just showing my displeasure of this game, I guess. I don't really know. I'm going with the Rams. I don't like the Saints. That's basically it, to be honest. Just give me the Rams. Puka and Kupp have been going stupid ever since they got back. Kyren's been a little bit slow. He's been a little bit interesting. I don't know. Kyren Williams hasn't been putting up as great of numbers per se. He's still putting up some decent numbers, but I don't know. Something about it. Something about Kyren, especially as a fantasy owner. Just something about it.
You and me both.
Yeah. Well, give me the Rams.
It has to be the Rams, right?
Yeah.
I don't really see any aspect where the Saints match up with them. I really don't. That's pretty much it. It's like you don't have to think too hard. The Rams. And
yeah.
I did see another one of those games where we're all unanimous. Chris and I and our other co-host, Adam, and the haven't seen lately, Justin Tucker. He's back in school. He's a studious lad. We love Tuck. We all pick the Rams.
Yeah. And just thinking bigger picture as well. I mean, you look at the Rams and their potential to even compete for the NFC West title. So there's going to be a little bit of extra spark in there.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks Panthers. Speaking of needing a little bit of an extra spark, the Bucks are in second place behind the Falcons. And I feel like they're going to catch. Not that they've pretty much already caught the Falcons. They're 5-6. And I think it's going to be very easy for the Bucks to catch them at this point. They're getting some good players back. And they've already gotten Mike Evans back. And he's gone back into the offense like it was a normal Tuesday. But this is easy. Give me the Bucks. Could be some weird like NFC South bullshit, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on, but either way, I'm still going with Tampa. Just like I said, this is another time where I just don't think the Panthers really match up that well. And yeah, I know they played the Chiefs, but it's like you had a little bottle of, to use the thing from Space Jam, Michael's secret stuff, and you used it to make the Chiefs sweat. You know, like, I don't see them doing that again. So, I mean, it's very simple. I don't think they would really have a answer for anything that the Bucks can throw at them. Just give me the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Moves us on to our primetime games. First, the Sunday night game, 49ers and the Bills. Bills favored by 7 points. 7-point favorites to the Niners. Who would have thought? At the beginning of the season, who would have thought that the Niners would be 7-point underdogs to the Bills on this primetime game? Not me.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that was also for you to jump in if you wanted.
Oh, yeah. we all know why they are.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not be stupid. Let's figure out why.
Let's put on our thinking caps here. Let's put on our.
I wonder why. Oh yeah, the Niners are injured.
Yeah, like Fred Warner's been playing.
He's coming back, and that's good. But this whole season, it's like 2020 all over again for them. Just the injury bug, just hit them over the head with a cartoon mallet, like you'd see in Tom and Jerry. It's so bad. Just
like Fred Warner's been playing a lot.
That's what it is. It's just the injury. Like they're just hurt at every position. Every position has literally sustained an injury at least once. Offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback even. Like I said, like you literally had Purdy miss a game. Once your QB goes down even for a game or two, it's practically a death sentence.
Yeah. And guys like Fred Warner. Fred Warner's been playing on a broken ankle for the last however many weeks of this season.
Literally since the New England game, which was like week 4.
So that's a problem. But give me the Niners in an upset. Niners. Kyle Shanahan's going to outcoach the shit out of Sean McDermott. And that's it. That's it. That's all I got. One more thing before we get to your pick, CJ. Bills can clinch the AFC East division title with a win because Miami lost last night.
Yeah, Miami's not a very serious team. They're just not, you know. Oh, by the way, even though this is the Bills-Niners game, let's take a second to point and laugh at Adam for picking Miami.
Fucking Adam. What a dipshit.
Yeah, no. McDaniel is a better ringmaster of a circus than he is a better head coach of an NFL team. He can't beat good teams. Tua doesn't play well in the cold. And don't lecture me with his stats. He stat padded. That's what he did. He was a stat padder. Like, most of his yards came in the second half. Like, I think the quarter where he had the most yards was the fourth, where he can throw against prevent defense. Ooh, boy, prevent defense. How scary, but whatever. Yeah, we laugh at Adam, but it's okay. We forgive him.
Still love him.
But yeah, give me the Bills. And once again, I've said before that I don't think McDermott's a head coach, but it doesn't matter because Josh Allen has just gone beast mode this entire year. And everybody else has just been stepping up around him, and Allen is actually elevating the people around him. Whereas the Niners, I don't want to say the Niners have given up, but the wheels are coming off. They're skidding right into Buffalo, and it's in Buffalo. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners made him sweat, but I still think the Bills are going to end up winning, probably by like 10 or so.
I could see if the Niners don't win, I could see them covering. That's for sure. Monday night game, Browns Broncos. Browns coming off of an absolute heater, which is funny to say that because
it was a snow game
where they beat the Steelers on Thursday night last week. Very fun game. Very, very fun game to watch. Probably one of my favorite games to watch this season. But they're going up against a Broncos team that is hungry. Hungry. The Broncos are hungry.
Are they hungry, Chris?
They're hungry. Two-game winning streak. They beat the Falcons 38-6, Raiders 29-19. Cortland Sutton's been going off. Devon Bell is going off. Bo Nix is going off. Bo Nix could very well go off again. Cortland Sutton could very well go off again. I love Jameis, but this Broncos defense has been very good. Who knows? Maybe Jameis has himself a day. He didn't play too terribly against the Steelers defense. Why not against the Broncos defense? But, I mean, give me the Broncos. I don't know. I don't see the Browns taking this one.
Nah. And look, we all love Jameis, right? Yeah. You know, famous Jameis and the power of friendship. Jameis. That's literally all the Browns are. I don't see him beating Denver. I really don't. I just think Bo Nix really has a shot to get offensive rookie of the year. They might even sneak into the playoffs if the stars align correctly. I mean, yep, they do have a winning record. But the Browns defense is solid, but I just don't think it's going to be enough because Jameis is either going to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, or he's going to throw for 300 yards and, well, three picks, because, you know, the yardage is going to be there. Will he get touchdowns or will he get picks? But Patrick Surtain on the other side, I'm thinking he's going to get picks.
Yeah. That's really it. That is it for our Week 13 picks. And back to the Bills game real quick. Bills just tweeted out 8 minutes ago, winter is coming. In anticipation of the upcoming snowfall, they're expecting a snowstorm, actually. I forgot about this. In anticipation of the upcoming snowfall, we're asking Bills Mafia to register to be a prospective snow shoveler. Kind of like that happened. That was last year too, right? It's been an ongoing thing that the Bills have kind of incorporated amongst their fans. And they get paid. They get fed.
You know, honestly, if you stop and think about it, that's really cool. The Bills, as a Pats fan, they really have the best fan base in the league. And you know what I love about their fans? They're really classy. They would never stoop as low as to throw sex toys on the field, send death threats to T. Higgins, hang an effigy of Patrick Mahomes. They would never do that.
They also send money to the Andy Dalton.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Let me stop you right there. They send money to charity. That makes them good. All right, let me ask you at home. Do you have a favorable opinion of Bill Gates? You don't? Do you have a favorable opinion of Elon Musk? You don't? Well, both of them have donated more in charity in one day than you have in your entire life. That doesn't mean anything, I assure you.
I just want to get you riled up there. You got anything else? Absolutely. You got anything else you want to add before we end the show?
Let's all take this time to point and laugh at Adam for the Dolphins pick again. Also, I went 3-for-3 on Thanksgiving Day picks.
I went 3-for-3 on my parlay.
You know what? And that's good. Get money. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Bears spread. I'll swing that out in the first half. Cowboys money line and Packers spread. I should have extended the Packers spread to like 16 points. The fact that Vegas gave the Packers 3.5 points against the Dolphins at home is redundant. But
yeah, beyond me.
But that'll do it for tonight. Thank you again for listening to another Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. We have new episodes, of course, Tuesdays at 7:30, Fridays at 5. And of course, the new episode coming out of Tuesday at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, and our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. Myself, I'm Chris Kostich. We say so long, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Happy Thanksgiving.